This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Continue with our program, Fiqh of Business Transactions, and we'll talk a little bit about some, in general, we were talking last time about contracts, and today we'll start with different types of contracts in Sharia. So we'll be using different classifications. Every time we'll talk about certain classification based on something else. Now, these are types of contracts in general in Sharia, because we have al-ahkam al-khamsa, the five rulings in Sharia, the five famous rulings: al-wajib, wal-haram, wal-makruh, wal-mubah, wal-mustahab. هذه الخمسة, these are the five Sharia rulings that are used in fiqh. So the ulama, they said there are some contracts that are mandatory. Marriage in some cases. If a young person has the ability to get married and he's concerned about his, he lives in a corrupted environment, and he's concerned about his deen, so marriage could be obligatory for him, could be mandatory for him, he has to get married, especially if he's financially able to get married. Recommended contracts, like loans, giving a loan, and loans in Sharia, as we said before, they are beneficial, charitable contracts. So we cannot ask any return for a loan. When we give a loan, we give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, expect the reward on the Day of Judgment. If you don't want to give a loan, then there are other contracts, other means of doing business and sharing the profit with the entrepreneur. And waqf is one of the recommended contracts. There are some other recommended contracts. Waqf is one of them. It's a great tool of, helping the ummah or promoting the well-being, the economic of the ummah. But it is not used properly, and it was not used properly. But this is something that needs to be studied. Permissible contracts like sell and lease. Disliked contracts like selling someone grapes to someone who might use it to make wine. You are not sure. If you are sure that he will be making wine by this grape, then it's haram to sell these grapes to him. Vice versa, if you are buying something from someone. Sometimes we go to some plazas or some malls, some places, and we find someone outside in the street selling something. People say that most likely he's selling it outside in front of a mall or something. He might have stolen it, right? It could be a stolen item. So if you are not sure, it is disliked. We said it is disliked if you are not sure. But if you are sure that the guy has stolen this item, this merchandise, then it becomes haram for you to buy it from him. So this is the basic rule. You go to a place, you find someone buying something in the street. Here in this country, people have this impression that he might have, it might be stolen. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Forbidden contracts, interest-based transactions, forbidden sales. In this program, we'll talk about many forbidden sales, inshaAllah. We talked about some of them before. The two parties, who are the two parties? They are the two contracting parties, al-aqidan. And the ulama, they said they have to have al-ahliya, the capacity to make a transaction. The capacity to make transaction. So they have to be sane, not crazy, not mentally ill. They don't have any mental illness. And they have to be mature. Mature, yani they have reached the age of puberty. But how about transactions made by children? Now the ulama, they said, if the child is mumayyiz, not mumayyiz, mumayyiz is distinguished, brilliant. The mumayyiz, he's perceiving, has the power to perceive and to understand. has the ability to make transactions, especially when it comes to those little things, buying candy or ice cream or a bar of chocolate, then it is halal, it is permissible for him to make this transaction, but pending the approval of his guardian or his father. If his father is not happy with the transaction, he has the right to go back to the store and ask for the cancellation of the transaction. If he doesn't like it or he doesn't want, then it's a different story. But Islamically, children are allowed to do these kind of transactions, you know, but pending the approval of their parents or their guardians. But of course, they are not allowed to make transactions about big things, like he cannot sell his iPad or the iPad of his father for $40 or $60. You know, you cannot just come to a child and say, you know, hey, let's make a business and they give him $20 for an iPhone. Eh? This is not right. And you say it was made by mutual consent, and all the conditions of valid sale are there. No, I mean, there is one condition that is not there. The child is not mature enough to make this kind of transactions. Owners of the subject matter, so both of them have to be owners of the subject matter. The seller has to own the item of sale, and the buyer has to own the price. Otherwise, it will be a problem. You cannot sell what you do not own. Like, if A owns a car, and B comes to C and tells him, I want to sell you this car, and it's still under the ownership of A. So B cannot sell it to C, because B, he's not sure that if A will sell it to him or not. So you cannot sell it. You cannot, just hoping that A will sell the car to you, so you go and make transaction with C, if you are B. You know what I mean? Or Ahmed makes transaction with Ali, hoping that Muhammad will sell him his car. And he gets the money from him and everything, and he goes and he bargains, trying to make a deal with Muhammad. You know, this is not right, because you do not own the car. The car is not under your ownership. Then you don't have the right to sell it. Bay' al-fuduli, we talked about it. A fuduli is someone who is your friend or family member. And a fuduli means, in Arabic, it means someone who interferes with others' business. Fuduli. He was not asked. He was not asked to do this transaction, but he did it because he thought that it's a great deal. You're absent, you're traveling out of town, and he's your family member, his brother or your father, and he thought that, well, this is a great deal, and you will never refuse this transaction. So we don't want to miss this customer. So he accepted the offer and he sold the car for him. This is Bay' al-Fuduli. So some two of the four imams, I guess it's Abu Hanifa and Malik, they said it is valid pending the approval of the real owner. And the other ones said, no, the sale is not valid because he sold what he does not own. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. This is another classification, types of business transactions. Of course, the non-commutative contracts are not business transactions. عقود التبرعات. So, إذن في الشريعة عندنا عقود المعاوضات وعقود التبرعات. عقود المعاوضات, when people are exchanging items or counter values. You're exchanging money for goods, or goods for goods, or money for money. These are عقود المعاوضات. You know, you give something and you take something. المعاوضة is compensating for something. This is المعاوضة in Arabic. عقود التبرعات, they are based on donation, donating what you want. And there are different types, we'll talk about them, of donations in Islam. Commutative contracts, the first one is barter sale. When you sell something, it's called in Arabic بيع المقايضة. When you sell a commodity for another commodity. And there is no problem with anything you sell, except, and you are allowed to sell any commodity for another commodity, except when it comes to the items or the commodities that are subject to the rules of what? The rule of what? The rule of riba. There are commodities that are subject to the rules of riba. Here you have to be careful. So selling an old car for another car, it's okay, it's fine. You sell a piece of land for another bigger, or the location of the other piece of land is better, that's okay, even if your piece of land is bigger than the other piece of land. So all these things are halal, are okay, are fine. When it comes to the commodities that are subject to the rules of riba, then you have to be careful. Selling more than 1 kilo of date for 2 kilograms of date, then from of a different, you know, quality, then here these dates are a commodity that is subject to the rule of riba. You cannot do it. You have to be careful here. The quantity has to be the same. طيب, the second one is a spot sale, البيع الحال. So when you give and take on the spot, you deliver your price and you deliver the item on the spot, and you are free of any obligation. You are free of any liability, and the sale is concluded. This is called spot sale. Credit sale is بيع المؤجل. It's called البيع المؤجل. Credit sale or deferred payment sale. It has some rules. You have to agree on a deadline of the payment. If there are, it is based on installments. You have to agree on the times of the installments, and also, you know, there are some rules. There are some other rules that the ulama have mentioned regarding these sales. The exchange of money is called bay al sarf, and bay al sarf here, it's very. We have to be careful when we exchange money for money. If the money belongs to the same denomination, like you are exchanging Canadian dollars with Canadian dollars, you could do it. You have a bill of $20 in your pocket, and you want to use only $1 or $2. So you go to someone else and say, I need change. Do you have change? This is a transaction. If he is a friend of yours, and he has only $15 in his pocket, can he give you this $15 and take the bill of $20 and tells you that I'll give you the other $5 tomorrow? Do you think it's halal or not? It's halal? It's not halal. Yeah, look, this is a very small transaction, and it is ribawi transaction. It is a usurious transaction. So when the money is of the same denomination, you have to do it on the spot and with equal amount, $20 for $20. If they are not the same denomination, like U.S. dollars, exchanging U.S. dollars with Canadian dollars, what will happen? It's okay, of course. The quantity doesn't have to be the same. Okay, exchange $150 for $100. It's okay, you are free. There is no limit on the profit. You don't have to look. I mean, if you want to sell them on the with the market price, that's fine. But if you have your own price, that's fine too. We'll talk about the limits of profits, because some people, they said the limits, they have some limits. They have mentioned some limits for profit, 10% for this item, 20% for this, 5% for this. This has no basis in Sharia. We'll talk about it, inshallah. But here, talking about the sarf, exchanging money, the only condition that the Sharia is asking is it has to be, the delivery has to be in the same trading session. It has to be on the spot. Yadan biyad. Rasulullah ﷺ used to say hand to hand, hand to hand. Didn't have bank accounts, didn't have this, you know, this modern ways of transferring money and sending money. Well, we can talk about these ways, but the basic principle is that the delivery of the money, the monetary units, have to take place in the same trading session. You give him your Canadian dollars, he will give you your American dollars. This is the basic principle. When we talk about al-qabd al-hukmi, constructive possessions, that's a different story. If you are exchanging with a bank and you have an account in the same bank, and instead the teller did not give you your money, but the money was deposited in your account, that this is called قبض حكمي, constructive possession, and it is halal, and it has the hukum, the same, takes the same rule as physical possession. So we have قبض حقيقي, And we have the قبض الحكم, physical possession, when you get them in your hand. And we have constructive possession, when you have access to the commodity. You have access to your money. You have access. This is, you didn't get it in your hand, like you don't hold or carry a truck in your hand or a car. But if you are given the key or the car is in the garage and you have access to this garage, so this is called constructive possession, and the car goes under your liability. It is in your charge. And this is really important in our business to understand the dhaman, mas'alat al-dhaman, liabilities. Because we have many problems in our communities and our community disputes between Muslim brothers when they do business about this point. Especially when the commodity is distracted. Was it under your liability or my liability? Am I responsible for the damage or you are responsible for the damage? So we have many problems because this concept is not clear when we do our business transactions. Prepayment forward sale is called bay' al-salam. It has its own conditions. You have to pay the price up front, and you have to agree on the deadline or the time of delivery of the commodity, and the commodity has to be well described, well defined. And then you give the price, as I said today, you receive your commodity after 6 months. This is called bay' al-salam. Absolute sale or normal sale of goods for money is called in al-mutlaq, sale of goods for money. So money for money is sarf, money for goods is bay' al-mutlaq. And goods for goods or commodities for commodities is called al-muqayadha, barter sale. Classification according to price. So when we look at the price you are buying with, we are different types, we have different types of sales. So we have buyu' al-amana and buyu' al-musawama. Buyu' al-amana, there are three types. Resale at cost price, which is called bay' al-tawliya. Bay' al-tawliya, I bought it for $5. I'm selling to you for $5. So I have to be amin, I have to be honest. That's why it's called bay' al-amana. Why would I sell it for $5? I didn't find any buyer. The market is very slow, I want to get rid of it. Simple as that. So I'm selling it to you the same price I got it. Okay? This is bay' al-tawliya. The resale at cost price plus profit, هذا بيع المرابحة. بيع المرابحة became very famous, very popular nowadays in Islamic banks and Islamic institutions. We'll try to spend some time with it tonight, inshallah. Resale with loss, بيع الوضيعة or الحطيطة. So I got it for $5, I'm selling it to you for $4. Why I'm losing $1? Am I losing $1? I mean, I didn't find. Same reason. Market is very slow. Want to get rid of it. Clearance. I mean, people do it. They clear their merchandise all the time. So they make a discount. This is bay' al-wadi'a. But here, al-amana, is you tell him that I bought it for $5, I'm giving it to you for $4 or $3. بيع المساومة, so you don't make any reference to the original price. Give me your offer. If I like it, I'll sell it to you. If I don't like it, I'm not going to sell it to you. الأمانة is used, it used to be used in the old days. بيع الأمانة. People used to, you know, go for these options when they don't have much experience in the market. They don't know about the prices, they don't know about the quality of commodities. So they ask someone who is more experienced, more, you know, he has more knowledge about the market. They tell him, go and buy it for me, and then I'll give you a profit. مثلا, one of them is بيع المرابحة. Non-commutative contracts, or عقود التبرعات. So we have a gift, hiba, and this is not a bilateral contract. يعني it's not made by two parties. Usually the statement is made by one person. I'm giving you this as a gift, hiba. And usually people accept gifts, they don't return gifts. So, but it is a unilateral contract. Wasiya. Al-wasiya is when someone is alive and he makes a will. Of course, when we include the inheritance, inheritance, ya ikhwan, is not part of the wasiya. Inheritance was explained, uquq al-mirath, the rules of inheritance were explained, well-defined in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot change them. But the will, the wasiya, we are allowed to make a wasiya in one-third, within one-third of our wealth and property. So if we want to exceed one-third of our properties, then we are not allowed. This is not permissible. And we cannot also make a wasiya, give a gift. A wasiya is, it will be executed after you pass away. A bequest, it's called a bequest, after someone passes away. You cannot make a wasiya to someone who is already one of your family members who will be inheriting you when you pass away. لا وصية لوارث. There should be no bequest to someone who to an inheritor, someone who is already among one of your inheritors. If you pass away, then you cannot make a wasiya to him. With one condition, the ulama, they said you can do it if the rest of the waratha, the rest of the inheritors, accepted, are okay with it, are happy with it. Otherwise, if they are not, then don't do it. It will be an act of injustice. And many people do it nowadays. MashaAllah, they divide their wealth before they pass away, and they give their children different amounts of wealth. And this is not halal. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. A waqf endowment, when you give a property for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this property will not be consumed, it will be the profit or the return of this property, like مثلا a building, the corpus of this donation will be used, okay? People will be renting مثلا this building, and the beneficiaries will benefit from the return or the income that is coming from this property. So مثلا you say, مثلا I'm making waqf for the orphans of Calgary, for example. And you give a land, مثلا, and you rent this land, and you have another, you appoint someone who will be in charge of this waqf. And then this rent will be given to the orphans, all the orphans, Muslim orphans, who live in Calgary till the day of judgment. The orphans of Calgary, Muslim orphans of Calgary, will benefit from this waqf until the day of judgment. There is another concept that is mentioned now or discussed in within the circles of fuqaha and ulama, cash waqf. And I would like to talk about waqf in the future, inshallah, to give a lecture about waqf, the history of waqf and the rules of waqf, because we can use it, inshallah, in the future to help our students, especially our students. I feel bad for our students who are taking loans, interest-based loans from the government or from banks. And we have this beautiful concept and we are not using it. So inshallah, at least, I'm not going to talk about any project, but at least we talk about waqf. We have to let people know about it and what are the rules of waqf and the beauty of this concept in our sharia. Al-ariya is a loan of usable items free of any charge. You give your car to someone. This is a loan. You are giving his car, your car, for him to use it. And those are, as I said, benevolent contracts. You cannot get any return for these contracts. Loan, qard hasan, al-qurud kulluha hasana fi sharia. And al-hawala is assignment of debt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to advise people, if they are not able to pay their debt, to make a hawala, to assign their debt to someone else, to a third party. To a third party. He become the assignee. You are the assignee. And this concept, actually, the ulama, Muslim scholars, they said, the crusaders got this idea, this concept of hawala in the 12th century. And many of our instruments, financial instruments that are used nowadays in the banking industry, like checks, like bill of exchange, draft, bank draft, many of them are based on this concept of hawala. Because when you give a check to someone, you are actually assigning your debt to someone else, to a third party. You're telling him that the bank will pay you this amount of money. And the bank, because you have an account, he will pay him from your money. But sometimes you might go to someone else, a third party method, and something that many people do nowadays. You have a business and you get a check, you do something for someone, and you get a check, but it is postdated till the end of the month. But you need money. Well, the owner of the check, the holder of the check needs money. He needs cash in his hand. And he has a check that is worth 5,000. So he goes to a cash store or any other store, and then he will give him this check. Do you think the cash store will give him 5,000? He will give him most likely maybe 4,900 methan, for example. So this is discounting bills, right? This is haram. This is a usurious transaction, because this is money. This check is money. And it was transacted for money, and the amount was not equivalent. It was not at par value. So this is haram. It's called khasm al-awraq al-tijariya fi al-fiqh al-islami. خصم الأوراق التجارية. طيب, what are the basic rules? Can we leave the question till the end? I'll give you 15 minutes. نعم. Yeah, kafala is guarantee. If when someone a guarantor, when someone guarantees someone that if he is not, his defaults on his payment, he's not able to pay, I will pay on his behalf. أيضا من عقود الإحسان. It is a contract of charity, and you cannot get money for this contract. You cannot guarantee someone for money. Okay? Banks, Islamic banks are doing it. They issue a letter of guarantee, but they said we take only administrative fees. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. They don't take a recompensation for this, for this transaction or this contract. But they said we are charging our customers administrative fees. Wallahu ta'ala. But it is al-kafala aqdun min uqud al-ihsan. Yani it is one of the charitable contracts. Wallahu ta'ala. We'll talk about warranty if you want, if you have at the end, inshallah. We can. What are now the basic rules of sale? We mentioned some basic rules of sale last time, but these are important for al-murabaha. If we have time to talk al-murabaha, otherwise we'll leave it till next halaqa. The murabaha as a mode of financing, not al-murabaha al-fiqhiyya, the fiqhi, the regular murabaha that is found in the books of fiqh. You tell someone go to the market, buy something, and then I'll give you a markup. I'll give you a profit. 10% or something. This is regular murabaha. This is normal. This is halal. There is nothing wrong with that. But the murabaha as a mode of financing, it's a different story. It's combined of different transactions, and it has many conditions. And many of the Islamic institutions, unfortunately, are not observing these conditions. And then it becomes at the end like an interest-based loan. Now, there are some basic of rules here, basic rules of sale. The subject of sale must be existing at the time of sale. So you cannot sell the unborn calf of your cow to someone else. So when my, habala al-habala, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in his hadith, that this is not a valid sale. هَذَا بَيْعٌ بَاطِلٌ. Something that does not exist. Number two, the subject of sale must be in the physical or constructive possession of the seller when he sells it to another person. I'll give you example of constructive possession or physical possession. مثلاً, you have a company or you have a business. You sell vacuums, and you make an order. You made an order for some vacuums to come from China, and so now you bought this merchandise, but the other party from China sent it to you. Okay, he has shipped it to you, and he has taken care of the shipment expenses and everything, but he didn't receive it. He didn't receive it. So you cannot sell it before you receive this product, because it is not under your liability. But if you had a representative, or you have an agent, you have a company and you had an agent there who went to the company, to the Chinese company, and he inspected the merchandise, and the sale was concluded, everything was concluded, and he shipped it himself on behalf of you. Now, it is under your liability, and you possess this merchandise, you can sell it. Because it is under your liability. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, actually selling, I'll tell you about the differences between the fuqaha, and I hope you won't be confused. They would like to tell you these differences just to find an excuse to the ulama. I would like to always find excuses for our ulama, because sometimes we complain about those differences, disagreements, without knowing the background of this disagreement. بَيْعُ شَيْءِ قَبْلَ قَبْضِهِ يعني selling something before it comes under your possession. There are different opinions, but the conclusion of this, you know, controversy or these disagreements, the Maliki jurist, the Maliki fuqaha, they said you cannot sell food when you buy it before it comes under your possession. Food items. Only food items. Why? What is their dalil? A hadith narrated by Imam Malik and Nafi' and Abdullah ibn Umar. This is a silsila al-dhahabiyya. They call it the golden chain of narration. It's the best chain of narration. And this hadith is found in Imam al-Muwatta' and Imam Muslim and Sahih al-Sahih Muslim. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ta'a ta'aman fala yabihu hatta yaqbidahu. He said, whoever bought some food, then he's not allowed to sell it until it comes under his possession, right? So the ulama, the Maliki jurist, they said, since Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a specification, specified, he said these, he mentioned the term food. So he said, then all the other commodities other than food, you are allowed to sell them before they come under your possession. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the word food. And if it was not, if it didn't have any meaning, then it would be useless. They said it would be. This is their argument. So al-fuqaha, this is how they analyze those, you know, texts. They said it would be useless to mention the word food. الطعام من ابتاع طعاما فلا يبيحه حتى يقبضه. الإمام أبو حنيفة and one of his students, one of his famous students, Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh, he said, you are not allowed to sell anything before it comes under your possession except real estate. Why? Because they divide wealth into two, movable and immovable. So anything that is movable, you cannot sell it before it comes under your possession, because it is subject to destruction. It could be destroyed, it could be damaged. But they said it's more safer to sell real estate, because they are not movable, they are in their place. They are more it's more safer to sell them before you take their possession. And of course, real estate, you are not going to, as I said, carry a house in your hand. It's just when you are given the key, that means you possess, now it came under your possession. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i and Ibn Hazm and some other scholars, they said actually this rule applies to everyone. Applies to every commodity. You are not allowed to sell it before, to sell anything that you bought before you it comes under your possession. What is their dalil? Hadith Hakim ibn Hizam radiyallahu anhu. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قال يا رسول الله إني أبيع هذه البيوع. I'm involved in these business transactions. And I buy and sell. ما يحل لي منها وما يحرم. He said, what is permissible for me and what is not? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تبيعن شيئا حتى تقبضه. لا تبيعن شيئا. Do not sell anything until it comes under your possession. So in this hadith, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said anything. He didn't say food. Do not sell anything until it comes under your possession. And also there is another famous hadith, which is a great hadith, and it should be, if this hadith is well understood, it should solve many issues in fiqh of business transactions. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يحل بيع وسلف ولا ربح ما لم يضمن ولا بيع ما ليس عندك. This is a long hadith, but these are three main statements in this hadith. He said, لا يحل بيع وسلف. A condition of a loan combined with a sale is not permissible. What does it mean? If I rent something from someone, or I sell to you something, but I tell you at the same time, I want a loan from you. I will sell my car to you, but give me 2,000 loan. So we're combining between a sale and a loan. Why do you think this could be haram or it is not permissible?
Because the seller will be tempted to give you a discount, so that's hidden riba.
Allahu Akbar. This is the reason. The seller will be tempted to give you a discount, give you a good deal. Why? Because he's expecting a favor from you to give him a loan. Right? Or you are renting him a house and you ask at the same time a loan from him. So you'll be tempting to discount the price of the rent because you are expecting a favor. So this is the only reason this transaction is not halal, combining between these two. You're not telling someone, I'm selling this to you, but I want a loan from you. So there is no transparency. There is no, the price here is not clear. It's combined between a price and a favor here, a loan. So that's why Rasulullah ﷺ said, لا يحل سلف وبيع. لا يحل. It's haram. It's not permissible. ولا ربح ما لم يضمن. Nor is the profit arising from something which is not under your liability. ربح ما لم يضمن. You are not responsible for the damage. If there is any damage that happens to something, then as I told you, I was mentioning the merchandise that is coming from China. If you have an agent who inspected this merchandise, and then the sale is concluded, and your agent has shipped this merchandise for you, it is under your liability now. Because the seller has delivered his merchandise, because there was someone else who was acting on your behalf. Then if there is something that happens to this merchandise in the middle of the sea, it is under your liability. But at the same time, Islam allows you to sell it. It is under your liability, but you can make profit from it now, before it comes to you, before you receive this merchandise. But if it is the other case, the seller has sold his merchandise to you, and you did not receive it, you didn't have an agent to receive it, and he sent it, he shipped it to you in his way, and you didn't receive this, it didn't come under your possession. Now we're waiting for a physical possession. But the first one was kind of physical possession, because this person who acted on your behalf, he actually received on your behalf this merchandise. Yourself, you didn't receive it in your hand, it didn't come into your warehouse, but it is called قبض حكمي, constructive possession, and here you are allowed to sell it and make profit. ربح ما لم يضمن. So if you don't have, if it's something is not under your liability, you cannot sell it, you cannot make profit of it. If it is under your liability, you can benefit from it, you can make profit of it. Right? Well, that's why Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, الخراج بالضمان. This is another hadith. الخراج is return or benefit or profit. بالضمان is linked to liability. These are major rules in business of fiqh transactions. So anyway, you cannot sell something that is not under your possession. And the subject of sale must be in the ownership of the seller at the time of sale. As I said, Yani I cannot sell a car to a brother Fadi, and the car is still under the ownership of brother Ayyub, hoping that brother Ayyub will sell the car for me. So I cannot do this. So, this is haram. This is not a valid, business transaction. I give you 15 minutes. I said 15 minutes. We'll pray five minutes after 8, inshallah. But the murabaha as a mode of financing, maybe we'll talk about it next week, inshallah. طيب, do you have any question? تفضل.
There is the hadith, أنت ومالك لأبيك. For the bay of Kabuli, is the father considered to be...
The ulama, they said it's an exception. The father is an exception. Not because of this hadith. They said because usually, naturally, a father is inclined to take care, to be keen to take care of the, the affairs of his children, to benefit them, not to hurt them, they said this is a natural, part of our nature as humans. We take care of our children, and we take care of their business transactions if they are wealthy or they have money. So we give nasiha to them. So the father is an exception. He said if the father sells something on behalf of his child, then it's okay, his sale is valid. Wallahu ta'ala.
Is it permissible to make requests from your will? Like, for example, is it permissible to divide all your land as you want before you die? Or is it not? Because I remember there's a hadith where the man approached the Prophet also and said that, can I give this to my child as a gift? And Prophet also said, are you going to give this to the children as well? Could you do that or not?
You can't do it if injustice is involved. If you are giving them gifts, but you are being just, you are giving gifts to all your children, giving money to all your children, based on their needs, then it's okay. But we're talking about wasiyah. There's a difference between giving a gift when you are alive and between wasiyah. Wasiyah will be executed after you pass away, after the person passes away. Here it has, Sharia has strict rules regarding the wasiyah, the bequest. Because it will be... Now, the only two rules, these are the rules concerning wasiyah. Inshallah, we have to clarify these rules in the future. The first rule is, your wasiyah cannot exceed the third of your wealth, property. And you cannot make a wasiyah to someone who will be inheriting you. Unless all the other inheritance, your inheritors, all of them accept and they are happy with it, then you can give him from your wasiyah. Allahu ta'ala.
If there is a deal and one person selling something and one person wants a loan, and there's no discount, is it halal or is it haram as if there was a discount?
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحل سلف وبيع. He said, is it haram or halal if there is no discount? Yeah? No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not combine between them. Because there is a possibility. There is, even if you say, I'm not making any favor to him, I'm not discounting the price, but there is a possibility. Okay? There are things that are haram, not because they are haram in themselves, no, because they might lead to something haram. Sadd al-dhara'i, closing the doors of haram. So there are things that are haram, not because they are haram in themselves, no, because they might lead to something else. So here there is a possibility that the price will not be transparent. That you might feel, okay, bad about it, and then you give him something. It will be riba.
What if you order...
Please, let me give chance to other people, because there are... Marish, I'm sorry.
When we send the money back home, it's not the same business day or business hour, but they get 1 day or 2 days later. So is it okay?
Well, it depends which way you send them.
By the bank.
Yeah, if you go to the bank, what will happen? Usually they will make the transaction here in Canada. Give them Canadian dollar. If you want to send Canadian dollars, there is no problem, because you are sending money. They are making a service. They're just offering a service and charging you some fees for this service if they are sending Canadian dollars. If they are not sending Canadians, they said, we cannot send Canadian dollars. We will convert your money into the other currency. What will happen? This is a sarf here. Now you are entering into a sarf transaction. But it is happening in front of you, and they tell you about the rate, and the transaction took place. Now, yes, you didn't receive it in your hand, but on your behalf, they are sending it. So this is a second transaction here. So there are two transactions. There is a sarf transaction, and there is a sending or transferring money on your behalf. They are asking for fees. So the fees that they take from you, they are for the second transaction or the second service, sending money overseas. But the first transaction, it is halal. The ulama, they said it is halal, even though you didn't get the counter value in your hand. Because you got a receipt in a bank or any company, you'll get a receipt. Transaction is concluded. This is qabd hukmi. So they said it is halal. It is halal because the transaction is concluded. You know how much they are selling. You call your parents back home or your family members, they will tell you this is how much we got it. Actually, with Western Union, they will tell you it will be available within 10 minutes. Western Union, they will tell you it will be available within 10 minutes. So they do the sarf transaction, they tell you how much they are getting back in Pakistan or Lebanon, and then they take some fees for sending money, not for the transaction, for sending money on your behalf. So this is okay, this is fine.
Same related issue, like if I get a loan from my brother, let's say back home, so I need $100 and he paid like 4,000 rupees at the time that I got $100. Over the time, Canadian dollar got stronger, and when time come to pay back, I paid $100, but he's getting $5,000 or $6,000.
Rupees. Yeah, so what he did, he went to the bank there, mm-hmm. and he gave them 4,000 rupees. Mm-hmm. You call them rupees?
Yeah.
Okay, and the transaction was, or the result, end result was $100.
Yeah.
So he sent this, the bank on his behalf sent you $100. This is what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So he made the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
He was the contracting party. You got a loan as $100.
Mm-hmm.
Then you, after 2 months, you send him back $100.
Mm-hmm.
But the tsarf you made at that time, the end result, or the counter value, the other counter value currency was 5,000. It's halal because you are sending $100.
But like the other party,
there is no riba here because you are sending $100. It's his $100. You are giving him $100. You know what I mean?
4,000 and he's getting 6,000. So
I know. I know.
I agreed with him to send him back for 4,000 rupees. Like I told him I need 4,000 rupees and send me, I got $100. When I sent the money back to him, he said, well, it's 4,000 rupees, I sent him $80, for example.
Yeah. Here, I mean, you are making a good question. This is a good question here. How to solve this issue? This is a good point. You tell him on the phone, I need 4,000 rupees. So when he goes to the bank, he is your agent, he is your wakil. He is now exchanging the money on your behalf. Then you have to send him back 4,000 rupees. Well, if this is the case. You know what I mean? But if you tell him, I need $100.
So it depends on the agreement?
It depends on the agreement. What kind of loan you are taking from him? You know, this is who's asked the question. You ask the question. If you tell him I need $100, this is your loan, and you have to return $100. Whether he will get for this $100, 6,000 or 7,000 or 400 or less, 3,000 rupees, is not your problem. You got 100, you give him $100. But here in this case, he said, I want 400 rupees. Now when he goes to the bank, and he said, I will exchange it on your behalf. You are acting on his behalf. You are his wakil. So you got 400 rupees. You return for him 100 rupees. It could be 400 rupees, 4,000 rupees at that time, $90 or $80. So But you gave him his money back. This is the... Yes?
I have a question here. A father, he has maybe three kids. One of the kids become convert. He is not a Muslim anymore. He changed his religion from Islam to Christianity or something. Or he becomes so stubborn that the father is losing his faith for that kid. So still he will be...
The father is losing his faith in that child.
Especially he is making him...
to
the society.
Okay. Okay. We have two cases here. The first case here, when he becomes a Christian or a Jew or a Buddhist, okay, he's a non-Muslim. لا توارث بين مسلمين وكافر. There is no inheritance between a Muslim and non-Muslim. So when the person passes away, his non-Muslim child will not inherit from him. If his non-Muslim child passes away, the father as well does not inherit from him. There is no inheritance between a Muslim and a non-Muslim. But if the father is losing faith in this child, like he's losing hope, he's not praying, he's not doing that, then he's still Muslim. If he's still Muslim, then if the father passes away, even if he's a fasiq, a sinful Muslim, he still have the right to his share. Is reserved, is protected. Share of inheritance is protected. Okay? Because we cannot just pick and select and say, I'm not happy with this child. Huh? They're out. And I give all my money to these children. They go to the masjid and they pray and everything. Cannot do that. If we open this door, we open a door to a big mess in our society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very strict with the laws of inheritance. He didn't tell us how many rak'ahs we pray in Asr and Dhuhr. Or Maghrib or Isha. He knows that we will follow the Prophet ﷺ. We will not dispute, have any dispute regarding that. But when it comes to money, he knows our desires and our problems and our weaknesses. And he told us how much the mother gets and the father gets and the mother gets and the children. And details in the Quran. And we are not allowed to change them. The last question. Tafadhal. They have what?
Design of the whole architecture of that building.
Okay.
So nothing is built yet. They just own the land. Can they sell apartments in the land?
Yeah, this is brother is asking. Some contractors did not build the building or the house or whatever, but they have designs, right? We call them designs.
Blueprints.
Drawings, not drawings. They are small models, small models. Now these models will give the customers full description, and then they will have more information, detailed information about these houses and everything. This is called Aqd al-Istisna. Aqd al-Istisna. Al-Ahnaf, may Allah have mercy on him, they said it is a valid Aqd contract. There are some other scholars who don't agree with them, but it is now adopted and well accepted in Islamic finance. Aqd al-istisna. You make an order for something, it will be made for you, to be built for you, but all the description has to be given to you. So you make your contract based on this full description. And in Aqd al-istisna, you don't have to pay the money up front. It could be on installment. But Aqd al-Salam is different. You have to pay the whole amount up front. If we have time, cannot make many promises. If we have time, we'll talk about these sales briefly, inshallah. But next, I think next haraqa, we'd like to cover al-murabaha as a mode of financing. And also I'm interested in those contracts that are used in selling houses in North America. Diminishing musharaka, or ijara combined with loans and those things. The way some Islamic... I'm not going to mention any company here. I don't want to mention any company. But I will talk about concepts and rules, inshallah, because many people are asking about those contracts or agreements that are made by some Muslim institutions. And many Muslims are not comfortable with these agreements. We'll talk about them, inshallah, in halaqa. Before we finish this program. طيب جزاكم الله خيرا Subhanakallahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.